that the time that I spent in Singapore, when I arrived in Singapore, it was a part of Malaysia as one nation. And when I left Singapore on that visit, Singapore was an independent nation city. I was giving a course in Singapore, and my courses were all highly related to demonstration at the time. I was sent to as I said, by this company, and so to these different places, and I was spending this time on what I had, what was identified me as the inventor, and try and get, because it meant a very radical change of habits of dentists and the way they had been learned to fit with the previous dental equipment, which was because of change. The dental equipment had since the 1800s, 1890s is when the railroads really started, and when the big factories came in, and the big factories were established at that time. Ritter was one of the biggest ones. It became the largest, and there's others, but the Ritter and the, all of them made equipment with the assumption that the dentists were standing, that they were, old dentists were standing. It was assumed that working people would stand in those days, and even the bookkeepers, when they wrote books, had desks where they would be standing. It was an idea that identified the body, a human body at work. And but then there was the time people thought about, well, maybe we can sit, you know, while we're working. And then there's a, and then this idea of being seated became, grabbed people's attention, that we work while we're seated. And so it saves a lot of leg strain, of course. And there is a problem related to that, and that was common, but now when people are seated, it's less common. It was, well, it was varicose veins was the common problem from that, from standing long hours all the time in one place. We're made for walking, but not for long-term standing. I mean, our body did not evolve for standing in one position a long time, and it does, there's a bump. But so walking is more natural. And but then when it comes to, there are two ideas on seating position. The major company in the United States that took advantage of that right away had a different idea than I did, and that the patients, if the dentist was to be seated, the patient was in a reclined position, which was a reclined state after a while, and that their trunk and head were, trunk was reclined. Of course, the head along with that would be pretty much going along with where the trunk goes, but it's a, with a little bit of variation. And but it's where the heavy part is the trunk. And then the, when that, but at that time when they did that change, I had I felt, well, the patient would be horizontal about the trunk, which means that this should be basically the spine or backbone. Oh, that's a curve, but I mean the axis of that would be would be horizontal. And so there was that was the big conflict between this huge company, which really was campaigning and very strong, was highly organized in the U.S., and they decided that I was an enemy of where they stood, because I was said they were, the body is horizontal, and they said no, it's reclined. That was the way it ended up with their thing, and they were emphasizing, so it became a fight between the reclined backbones and or spines and horizontal backbone and spine. That was the basis of it. And so I soon found they were very upset with what I came up with, because they were moving very strongly with demonstrating how you could treat patients in reclined position, and which meant where before, as we trained, we had basically an upright, we didn't adjust the patient much at all, and then suddenly the recline means there is a range of adjustment of the body and the patient, and there's more tilting of the chairs. Well, that meant that I rejected tilting of the chair, and they had done a lot of planning about how you can tilt a patient chair and that the patient sits in them, and I, of course, going horizontal simplified a lot of things, and a lot of parts that they needed did not exist, but they still were working with the part in two sections. The what they call the dental unit was where the tools are located. They call it instruments, and they are mounted in one place and placed on the floor, and then where the patient's support is another place on the floor, and the operator seat is of course related to the patient. So there's three contacts on the floor that relate this unit of treatment. The operator's weight support, body weight support, the patient's body weight support, and the tools. When I went to horizontal, I also combined that. I decided to unify the tools that would fit with the horizontal, so that was just one unit. That was the key to what Meritus saw as a major invention, and they were promoted it, and of course part of the promotion was to send the inventor around the world to explain it, which meant I was being sent all expenses and paid. With all the contacts, I was surprised at that time with the contacts and how strong companies can be. Meritus, and then they had their wholesalers, which covered complete nations, or maybe to finish it. The wholesaler pretty much covered a nation, or perhaps a couple of small nations. And then they relate to the factory. The factory relates only to the wholesalers. Then, in turn, the wholesalers sell to dealers, which are local, and the dealers are claimed to be able to handle the service. That didn't work well, what I came up with, because it was too big a unit when we put it all together, and it's causing quite a bit of problem. But in Japan, they worked it out. But others, but then at the same time, they had decided to be a worker, what they call a global market, which meant that they were going to go to all continents. So I was sitting all over, talking about the continents, Australia, New Zealand, and everywhere, and of course, almost everywhere except where I was born and schooled, which was U.S. And so I was not welcome back in there because of the that large company's activity. So as long as it was effective, I stayed away from the U.S. And I was well known and much of the rest of the world, but not known in the U.S. But later, professors from, or I mean, the dean or the president of the schools called attention in the U.S., primarily at the University of Maryland, the University of Minnesota, and the University of North California, and Missouri. There were four of them that really found out about what I was doing. And then when they took interest, of course, then I had some links that put me into the U.S., but that came quite a bit later. And then during that time, there was this, another key person in my life, I'll say, was Dr. Begree, who I had first met when I was traveling around. I met him in Scotland, in Edinburgh, Scotland. He was a professor or teacher there. I don't know what he had. It was full professor, but he had a high position anyway. And that's where we met, was there, Edinburgh, Scotland. After I demonstrated there, and he invited me to his home for a lot of questioning, and after our talk and answers to his questions, he decided that he was going to leave Scotland. That they felt that there were things were so conservative, there would be very difficult to change things. So he went to Canada, and he went to East Canada first, in Toronto, where he went teaching some concept of mouse, fit with mouse clinics, and. Then he went west and became dean at the University of British Columbia, UBC, where I met him again. And we got close related. And he took the trouble. He was coming to Japan because of his interest by that time in what I had come up with, where I had caught it in Scotland, and where he had been demonstrating this and working with it in his new schools in Toronto and UBC. And so he would come to confirm with me. But he came with a different reason, but he's the one who decided that my concept should be introduced to WHO, and because he knew someone there who was named David Barnes, who has the same initials as mine, D.B., Darrell Beach and David Marr, which caused confusion because everyone starts using initials very shortly when they start writing things repeatedly. And they found when they checked it, which one is D.B. and which is David Marr, which is Darrell Beach. So that's where, when you get to initials, which can save a lot of what people tend to do right away when they are repeating things in mail. That's one thing. But then David Marms was then introduced to me from WHO. He was the first contact I made from WHO itself, who was interested, and in Geneva. The headquarters of WHO was in Geneva, Switzerland, and so I was soon spending time in Geneva, Switzerland, with my wife. I think it was my first stop or stay in the WHO, and WHO when they first, I had been introduced by Dr. Beegree for my concept of control, of body control, which centers on finger and forearm control, basically, as because the surgeons are what they were doing, because we were surgeons, and surgeons are doing most of what they do is finger work, and so the problem is how to control the fingers and the forearms, and that's what I had centered with related views, associated views, and I had come up, had specified views with in digits, and I specified finger points and this, and I had listed those. We call them all me points, and that was soon introduced. That was just one introduction of digits or numbered order. Digital or digital numbered order is the same thing now, because there aren't any other numbers to deal with except digits. And so the next campaign is how far we can identify and specify things with digits. And that still remains my present interest and concern today, is how we can handle that.